G'day and welcome to Oceanic Gaming Radio. That's OGR. My name's El Capitano, Capitaine Perth, Liam, and alongside me are my faithful companions, Pavlova Face and Grizzly Gaming 86. How are you, Timbo?
I'm bloody excellent, Capo. Had a nice start of the week, nice and stressful as it always is, mate. What about yourself, buddy? You going well?
I'm doing great. Pav might have COVID, by the way. Just get that one in there real quick. I'm doing great. Pav, not so much. He's got the old spicy cofferino.
Tell us about it. Tell us about it. What's going on?
Look, we won't go into the details. I was with some friends. I was actually well and truly pressured into hanging out with some friends on Saturday night. And I was spending most of Sunday with them as well. And then I got a message this morning, get another call saying, I don't think it's like, I was like, guys, I'm about to head to work. I can't do anything now. So they're like, so someone tested positive for COVID, go isolate. I was like,
So got him. What you're saying is we fully have shitloads of time to get this episode out this week.
You know what's real interesting now, though, is like West Aussie has stopped the contact tracing. So you don't get contacted if you've
been. It
kind of
hits a certain point, though, right, where you, I mean, how the fuck do you contact trace like thousands of people a day? Like, you know, you need someone per person. Yeah, well, true. I don't even know what yesterday was. Maybe someone in chat might know what the stats are currently. I've kind of just given up on checking, but I think we're kind of at our, you know, I'm going to put peak in brackets because I know we don't, you know, we've kind of been lucky here, but.
We're pretty regularly getting like 10,000.
Are we really? Yeah. Fuck, I didn't realize it was that high.
Pretty close to that.
We're honestly pretty lucky to not get COVID. I fucking catch the train to work every day, Cap, and I head to public gym in the city. So,
yeah,
I don't know, man. We're just rolling that dice every day, baby.
You've got to be days away from a little spicy cough in your life. I'll tell you what, though, man, I go to a public gym as well. So I reckon that's going to be my definite, like, you know, exposure zone.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay. That's just how it is. I'm triple vaxxed, like, you know, probably about as prepared as I can ever be for it in terms of my fitness wise. So, yeah,
Absolutely.
Should be right.
Absolutely.
But Grizzly, what's been happening, mate? What's the news?
Well, the only eventful thing that's happened since I talked to you, I kind of want to cover off on that in the April Fool's section because it's probably more relevant in there. So I'm going to throw that question back at you, mate. What about you? Tell me about your weekend.
Well,
what happened?
I'm really glad you asked, Grizzly, because I had so much fun building my new PC. It was so fun. It was just awesome. It was such a great experience. Thank you so much for asking. It worked perfectly. I basically built my PC. So last week I explained to you guys, listening at home, what I was building. And I was very excited, had all my parts come Friday, ready to build the following day with my best mate, Callum. Anyway, so we unbox everything. We, you know, we've built plenty of computers in our time. So, we know what we're doing. We're not computer newbies. So
not scrubs.
We're not scrubs. So
Callum is sleepy. Same person, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
cool. Me old mate. So yeah, basically put this PC together. Did everything correctly. Really careful with everything. And then went to boot it and just couldn't boot in. And we're like, oh fuck, okay. Well, you know, not to be unexpected. You know, these things happen with new builds. So you know, did the usual. Tried it again. Reseated a few things. Still wouldn't boot. We're like, what the fuck's going on here? So. Then we tried to fuck around with some of the BIOS stuff, and tried to flash the BIOS.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nightmare in itself. Finally managed to flash the BIOS after a lot of troubleshooting.
So you could get into the motherboard BIOS. You could get to the screen that gets you into the BIOS.
Well, couldn't see anything, actually. No. So we had to flash the BIOS, remotely essentially without being able to see anything, which is fucking scary, dude. Can I just say? Because if you fuck your BIOS flash up and you fry something, you don't even know you fried it.
You might be accidentally essentially, Cap, if you like that, is you on your motherboard screen, you just don't know where the prompts are to flash the BIOS and shit?
Not even,
no.
No,
that's
no.
crazy, man.
Basically, the way it works is like you, well, for this particular motherboard, you plug a USB with the latest update on it, and then you'd connect it to power, and then you'd press the flash BIOS button on it, and it will just manually chuck the file on there.
Okay, yeah, gotcha,
so
gotcha,
you can't see anything. But anyway, so we tried, we did that, and we still weren't getting any display out, and we couldn't get the post. Anyways, we kind of randomly tried just one stick of RAM, and then randomly also tried, rather than using DisplayPort, using HDMI, and we managed to get the screen up. And I was like, what the actual fuck is going on here? So we tried a bunch of other shit. We pulled off the fucking CPU cooler, checked all the pins on the motherboard to make sure we hadn't bent any. Couldn't find anything wrong there. Honestly, dude, this was like literally like 9 to 10 hours worth of troubleshooting trying to figure out what the hell was going wrong with it. Tried a different graphics card, my old graphics card, in the new build to make sure that it wasn't the graphics card. Still was having the same issue. Anyways, we managed to get it posting with one stick of RAM, and then when we put the other stick of RAM in, it wouldn't post. So we're like, oh, it must be the stick of RAM. Obviously,
there
something's wrong here. So
we
did some troubleshooting.
So you've got 32 gig of RAM on this cap, is that right?
Yes, correct.
Two sticks. Was it?
Yeah, and we had them in the right slots, and we also double checked that the RAM, like both RAM sticks, work, because we could get it to post off each stick of RAM in a single channel. Made sure they were in the right channels as per the documentation, all that shit.
Dude,
so we've done everything right.
I wonder if this is the DDR5 being you fucking. And there's
right.
like some.
I've got an update as of today. So what I did was I took it into my local computer supplier, who I got most of my parts through, and I said, "Fucking, I got this shit. Most of this shit through you. Fix it." They're like, "No worries." And so I got a call letter today, and he was like, "Dude, your graphics card's dead." And I was like,
"You're kidding me, what? Dude, that's such a funny story, man. I got a graphics card as well at my 1060, and it was like artifacting and had to get that replaced. I wonder if that's like a reasonably fucking common.
Dude, it shouldn't be, really, in all honesty. Like the fact that these things worth like thousands of dollars leave a factory and a dead on arrival is nuts. It doesn't really normally happen. It's pretty rare, dude, in all honesty.
But so was that the root of the issue? Was it just the graphics
apparently
card?
Apparently so, which is really weird because it doesn't really make sense that we'd even get a boot screen at all if the graphics card was dead, because that's so our CPU that we're, well, my CPU that we're using, it's one that doesn't come with integrated graphics. So you have to boot with a graphics card. So the only way for you to get through would be if the graphics card was working. So I'm very confused as to how they figured that out, but they obviously did. They've got better troubleshooting stuff than what we do. You know, they've got extra parts they can plug in, dud things to make things do XYZ, check voltages and all kinds of shit. So, look, in the end, apparently it's my graphics card. They're going to upgrade me to the next graphics card free of charge because of the big fuck around. And, look, it's honestly fine by me. But so what I hear, Grizz, is that I heard someone else said that their friend bought a pre-built from the same company, and then also their graphics card was knackered. Now, I've heard that what's been happening is because we've had this big silicon shortage, that people, well, companies have been trying to pump out components much faster and with lower quality because they just need to get them out on the market. And so what's happened is these are flooding the market, and there's higher rates of failure because there's less quality assurance being done. I don't know how true that is, but I mean, well, I might have just copped a shit one.
I'm going to be buying a pre-built very soon as well, so we'll see whether mine shits the bed. Unlike you, I'm going to ask them, well, if it's a pre-built, hopefully it comes built, and I'm even going to buy Windows on it, so... I just fucking.
It should come with all that if it's pre-built.
Yeah,
it should come with all that shit.
It just all comes together in the box, and I just plug it in and go, baby. Yeah.
Normally, I honestly think you'll be fine. To be honest, like this experience has made me never want to build another computer ever again. In all honesty, I have a lot of fun building computers, but it is such a stressful, pricey fucking situation to be in when you're like, why? Especially to that degree. Like, I've had computers not post after building them. And you kind of figure out, oh, it's because we didn't put the RAM in the right channel or something stupid. Yep. Like you just like, okay, there it is. But this was legitimately very confusing and confounding. And we kept getting different errors on the motherboard or different boots. And it was just like, dude, what is going on?
Because it's
is
like
weird.
Beeps and shit, isn't it? Like different beeps and stuff for different RAM. Yeah.
Well,
actually, dude, I the PC that I run now, I bought all the components as they came on special. And the way that I checked whether they were... going to be able to work with each other. I use PC part picker, but I was like you, dude. Like, I had so many fucking issues to actually get it up and running. Like, I had, Tim help me out with it. And same issue. I got 3200 speed RAM, but my motherboard didn't support, it said it supported 3200 RAM, but the specific type of RAM that I tried to put on it wasn't on the QL, so I wouldn't run that speed. So I had to run it at half the speed it was advertised for. Just shit like that. It wouldn't post or anything.
Oh, absolutely. But that's the thing, Grizz, is like a lot of this stuff that I've been using is fairly bleeding edge. Like DDR5 is pretty new, and a lot of the components that I bought were like literally released in November. So like we thought, oh, okay, maybe there's some really weird compatibility thing going on, and like we just unlucky and it's not very well documented, because we googled to make sure that like the motherboard said the RAM should be fine, and on the documentation it's just like, this makes no sense. Oh, of course you do, like, you know, that's why you buy it, because you're like, it says no worries, that goes with that.
Exactly. So,
the weekend was it was a lot of time spent and quite a stressful and expensive situation. So in the end, it kind of, it's not the worst thing, because I'm getting a slightly better graphics card in the sense that it's going to be better cooling, which is good. Okay. The only thing is, like, the graphics card I had was a 3080 with a little LCD screen on it, and I fucking frothed it, dude, because it has this little egg on it that when you turn your computer on for the first time, the egg hatches, and I just wanted to fucking see that egg hatch. That's all I wanted to see.
You didn't see it hatch at all?
No. In fact, it looked like the egg was cracked. So I was like, at the time, I was like, oh, this graphic card's fucked. Look at the egg. It was a joke. It actually was, the graphics card was fucked. So now me and Cam are like, mate, we should have just listened to the fucking cracked egg on the screen. That was basically my entire weekend, and it was a bit fucking scare town. But what do you do, mate? I gotta wait a few days for this computer supplier to finish off my build. They're gonna have to pull in another graphics card from another store, and I'm gonna have to wait a couple of days, but I should have my new PC build hopefully by the weekend, which will give me time to stuff around.
Yeah, well, dude, when you do have it built, let's 100% road test it with a couple of games of Dota, I reckon.
Absolutely, my friend. I'm pretty sure I get a free copy of the new Assassin's Creed, and it looks pretty nuts in terms of graphics, so I'm pretty keen to just load that up. Probably not really play much of it, because like the new Assassin's Creed games have been quite fucking average in my opinion recently, but just give it a crack.
Going boost from Elden Ring to go and play Assassin's Creed, you're going to be fucking...
But yes. Anyways, Grizz, let's fucking get stuck into here, mate. Now, first cab off the rank, E3 has kicked
E3, baby.
The fucking bucket. Well, it doesn't look good, okay? It doesn't look very good. Basically, someone came out on Twitter the other day, said they just received confirmation that E3 had been cancelled for this year. Mm-hmm. And now everyone's speculating that it's probably dead for good. And I think people are probably right. What do you think?
And just to give, if you're a bit of a noob and you don't know what E3 is, it is like in the last couple of years, it's been mainly an online event, Cap. Would that be correct to say? But in the past, it's basically been like a literally ticketed sale event, similar to your PAX Oz, etc., for game devs to come and show off their games and upcoming events and everything, game releases and everything else. And massive, big, ticketed event, very popular when it was in person, almost like a convention kind of thing. Last year, I believe they canned it last year.
So I believe what happened last year is they were going to go digital and then they ended up canning it again. So it's been, I think from memory, I'm pretty sure there wasn't an E3 last year. But it's just been a kind of series of unfortunate events for E3. They basically had a couple of companies slowly do their own thing. Like Nintendo started doing its sort of treehouse Nintendo Direct stuff. Yeah. They would still simultaneously release around about the same time as E3. I think they had EA start doing their own stuff as well in terms of doing like a
PlayStation's got State of Play as well.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I mean, PlayStation kind of pulled out, I believe, one of the more recent E3s entirely. And then did a State of Play. And now they're doing state of plays throughout the year as well. So they've had these companies slowly move away. And the companies that were still there, basically they had to cancel E3 a couple of times because they're going to do physical E3s. And then obviously COVID happened. And I think the big issue with that was it kind of prompted companies to try something else with getting their news and stuff out. And they probably went, oh, I can tell people about my new game and not have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars at E3. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe I'll just do that instead. That sounds like a pretty good business decision. Maybe. I don't know.
I tell you what though, Cap, the it's a bit of a shame, like these physical events, and I know that we've been plagued by it here in Australia as well with our PAX Oz and other bits and pieces and conventions not going ahead because of COVID, but it is kind of sad, man, to see if it is the end. I mean, just to quickly say, E3 has said that they're going to return in 2023, potentially with another showcase. What that looks like, whether it's digital or whether they're actually going to have an event. But yeah. It is a bit sad to see something like this, a big gaming expo, almost a bit of an end of an era.
Dude, it is super sad. Like this is the event that consoles got announced at. You know, this is like serious shit, man. This event was massive. I used to love looking forward to E3.
Cap, let me tell you this. E3 was probably the start of this podcast, whether you or Pav know that, but you used to run an E3 event every year from Captain Perth Twitch TV channel, and I came on as a guest in my suit and tie to talk about video games one time, and it was very similar to the format of this podcast, talking about video games and news and bits and pieces. So
yeah,
there you go, man.
It's honestly just a sad, you know, sad series of events. You know, unfortunate. I just think it's they just couldn't make that ground back up, and having some of these larger companies move away from it, I just think it really kind of killed it for them. Jeff Keighley of the Game Awards has sort of come out and said that the Summer Games, Summer Games Fest. Is going to be coming back this year. They had one last year, and it was kind of like, so they had the game. They have the Game Awards with Jeff Keighley. Jeff Keighley is a very well-known kind of games media guy. He runs the Game Awards, which is that big Game Awards we have towards the end of every year. Jeff Keighley also has a lot to do with the Summer Games Fest, and that's going to be a kind of like an E3-esque, I guess, celebration, conference, everything else. I mean, just to give you an idea, off the website for Summer Games Fest, it's just their history says, "Welcome to the world's first fully digital global celebration of video games." Excuse me. Launched in May of 2020, Summer Games Fest unites the entire video game industry for a summer celebration featuring digital events, demos, announcements, and breaking news for video game fans. Do you know, it's almost like Jeff Keighley jumped on the fact that everything was going digital before E3 did, and E3 just could not make up the ground.
Yep, absolutely, mate.
You know, and so now I think Summer Games Fest will probably become the next big kind of conference that people work towards. Obviously, there's other conferences around the traps. You know, they've got there's a couple, but a lot of them are developer focused. One I'm thinking of, but I can't think of the name. Someone in chat might be able to remind me, but it's you know, they tend to be sometimes a bit more technical rather than like consumerist. I think this will be it.
This Summer Game Fest, mate, do you see this being the type of expo where people are releasing their consoles and things? Do you see it going down the same avenue that, say, E3 has in the past? Or
it will be interesting to see what happens. See, that's a really good question, because I think when people were releasing consoles and stuff when E3 was around, people really liked that live spectacle of, the big exec for whoever it is, Sony or Microsoft, comes on stage and everyone's like, oh, shit, you know, fucking Phil Spencer's on the stage, baby. Whoop, whoop. And then, he'll drop some fucking knowledge bombs, and then all of a sudden you've got like some fucking crazy shit going on screen, like in front of a bunch of people. I think people maybe care less about that these days. And I think ultimately, like, it gives developers and companies more control over their own media if they can have their own events. Absolutely. And I think maybe they're wisening up to that a little bit more. And do you know, I think another thing I think might be coming into this is, I think Sony and Xbox kind of might. I mean, I think the rivalry back in the day between Xbox and Sony PlayStation, I think that was good for business because it was kind of a tick for tat kind of. Oh, well, we've got backwards compatibility. Oh, well, we've got this. And then, oh, we've got that. But that doesn't really happen anymore. It's kind
that
of
was
just
such
like
a good forum for that, man.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. Because I mean, remember when, you know, for example, I think PS3, you never used to have to pay on the Sony network to play multiplayer. Yeah, and that was a big thing for these consoles. Because Xbox
also remember
had
PlayStation
Xbox Gold.
Had Blu-ray, and that was like, whoa. Like, yeah.
But it was always just like, oh, well, on our network, you don't have to pay. And on theirs, you do. Or like on our console, you know, you get backwards compatibility because we care about our gamers and they don't. Like it was a real kind of like grubby fist fight in these conferences. So I think ultimately, like, if companies can detach from that kind of thing, I think it's like they're probably just seeing the benefit of that and they're going, nah, hey, let's get out.
Just thinking out loud here, Cap. So obviously PlayStation have State of Play and you have other, you know, Nintendo Direct and other bits and pieces. Does Microsoft Xbox, do they have anything as big for their media announcements that they're
I'm sure
they're
they
using?
Do, but it's just not coming to me. I think Microsoft are pretty good at just like saying things when they have something to say. I think also you got to think about their company structure these days. They're quite different. Like Sony has a lot of third-party software devs and primary studios that are creating content for their consoles and creating exclusive kind of games and stuff. So they've probably got a little bit more to amalgamate into a show, whereas I think, well, Microsoft is slowly getting there with all the acquisitions they've had recently.
Oh, dude, huge.
So maybe they'll be having something similar as well. Imagine a big, you know, Xbox Fest kind of conference.
The X Fest.
The X Games. I think Grizz is been fucking watching a bit too much you know, the sneaky tubes online. But
dude, the X
yeah.
Games is a fucking sporting event already, isn't it, Pav?
Is it?
I'm sure it is. Know. The X Games. I'm pretty sure it is a sport.
I'm thinking of a very different sport.
But it is. The X Games action sport videos. It's a fucking like ESPN is the X Games. It's like motocross and skateboarding and
whatever. Oh, okay. So it's like extreme.
When sport goes
extreme. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I don't think they'll be doing that kind of stuff. But maybe they'll have big fucking motorbikes and shit driving through the middle of stuff.
Do you see this being? Because I know that as smaller developers, E3 was also very important to showcase clips and videos of your games to try to draw interest into what maybe up to that point was a relatively unknown release that was coming. And I remember looking at some of the games on when me and you reviewed E3, Cap, and I came in and I looked at a couple and there were some that stuck out hugely just from the media that they had through E3. So does this put way more pressure on developers and studios than to now be more active on their socials and shit,
you know,
like
what?
That? Like,
I don't think so. Well, maybe a little bit, but I still think there's plenty of avenues for developers to get their, you know, their stuff out. I suppose the big issue is like in the past you had this huge fucking huge event that obviously heaps of shit's being announced for. So it's a good time to release some information about your game because heaps of eyes are on the media and interest about what's going on. So you could release a bit of information about your game and it's kind of in the, you know, it's been added to the pile. It might mean that maybe games, you know, because there's not as much focus on getting that media out in, you know, kind of parallel with E3, maybe those announcements get a few more eyes on them just because they're not in a flooded kind of media environment where everyone's kind of talking about everything all at the same time. But I think ultimately, Grizz, like, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for developers to tack onto other stuff. Like, I mean, look, Summer Games Fest, I'm sure we'll have like an indie section. I'm just looking at some of the partners that they've got. A lot of them are fairly big players like 2K, Activision. You know, they've got Amazon Games, a bunch of other kind of guys. But they've got guys like Annapurna, which are pretty, they're not huge, but they're kind of still in indie land. They've got Devolver Digital. So definitely kind of, I guess, indie friendly. But I mean, also don't forget PAX as well, Grizz. And, you know, not to mention that, you know, State of Play for PlayStation tends to be a little bit more indie focused as well these days. So there's definitely opportunities for these guys to get on board and do stuff. Pav's saying in the chat, GDC, Game Dev Conference.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I think I literally said basically that, but it just didn't click in my mind. It's just the GDC is the thing that reminds me of that. But that's kind of like a more like developer, thing. Like, so they do a lot of like, this is how you create a polygon in this new thing we've got, and this is how you draw a fucking thing in this thing. And so it's all like it's all like industry shit. So it's a little bit less focused on like, you know, consumerist kind of media.
So Cap, we should make this clear that so E3 have said they're going to be working towards a 2023 release. Maybe they can come back with something that is decent. Yeah. We know that Ubisoft and Microsoft still did attend and you know, they're still part of that presentation and bits and pieces in general. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see what happens in 12 months, mate. Keep an eye on the space and see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, there was an E3 last year. I couldn't remember if there was or not, but there was. I just forgot because that's what COVID's done to me over the last few years. I think it's just been an amalgamation of 3 years where you just don't know what's happened in those 3 years.
Yeah, dude.
But I think, we'll see what happens. I mean, a lot of people are just shitting on it and saying, it's dead. Hey, maybe it is dead. But, I mean, I think because another thing is, Grizz, I'm sure that E3 probably made a shitload of money for the people who hosted it because there would have been people paying a lot of cash to get their games and their conferences on that stage.
Absolutely, mate.
Yeah. Now that they don't have that cash flow, it's going to be very difficult for them to maintain a large kind of, employment size. So maybe they do have to really slim down.
The quality is just going to go down, mate. I'll tell you what, game devs out there, maybe, if you want to feature a game on a podcast, just fucking reach out, baby. A couple of mils is all it takes.
Oceanic Gaming 3.
Dude, one thing that I didn't realize, E3 stands for Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Yeah.
Three E's. I never fucking pieced that together. So there you go.
Yeah. Remember the first time I found that out, and I was about as surprised as you are right now. Not very. But yeah, so there you go. Anyways, bit sad, but I mean, we don't know for sure whether it is fully dead, but we shall see.
Not really on the topic of E3, Cap, but do you think you'll ever try to get to a PAX? I remember when we were both streaming a lot and it was like we talked about it and I think Pav talked about it and it's just kind of shit the bed the last few.
COVID's definitely kind of made that difficult. PAX is apparently definitely happening this year. I was considering getting tickets, but I believe it's October, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the first weekend of October.
Are you going?
Probably.
I was really debating it, yeah. I've got a new house. Going to be in a new house very soon. I'm going to have a first-time mortgage.
I totally understand that.
I can't justify it. Next year, maybe. Next year.
Yeah, I'm going to have my son's first birthday. First actual day on Earth. So in that first week of October. So probably shouldn't go, to be honest. So I think maybe in the future, but I think with a baby on the way, it's going to be difficult to, even next year, it might be a little bit tight for money. Who knows? I don't know what it's like having a baby. Probably fucking expensive, I'd imagine.
I don't think baby's too bad. It's when they still start fucking going to school and you got three of them going to school at a private school, mate. That's when it starts to get real.
Mate, might have gone to fucking Liam's fucking School of Hard Knocks, mate. Here's a book, encyclopedia. School, and here's a laptop. Go wild. Learneth thee. But yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, moving along, Grizzo. The obvious April Fools, mate. April Fools happened on what day was that? That was Friday. April Fools. So I thought a fun little segment would be maybe to do a bit of a wrap up of some of the notable things that that happened in the gaming space for 2022 April Fools. But did you had a little April Fools story you want to tell?
All right, so I did a stream on Friday and I was playing some Kaizo and we're just chatting about April Fools, whatever else, and it kind of got on the subject that maybe I should just leave my stream running at the end of the stream for 12 hours. Just let it go as an April Fool's joke. And we got talking about it more and more, and we decided that the chat would make photoshopped images of me in hot tubs. So, like, awesome. You know, on sexy bodies like Baywatch and Amaranth and all these ones, and I'll just have them rolling in the background while I was sleeping. And we did it, and it was hilarious. Well, it turns out, okay, it's one thing I didn't know, Cap, you can't leave a Twitch chat without moderation. Otherwise, it's against TOS.
So, is that right?
Yeah, so Kazi and Lady Kazi pretty much did the whole thing while they were at work during the day. That's like a bunch of kids. Yeah, I had like a bunch of fucking kids. Dude, I got like something like 9 or 10 follows throughout the day.
What the hell, dude? That's fucking mental. Did you get any subs during it?
I think I got a couple. I set a sub goal of like 1,000 subs because I was being a fucking idiot. But a couple of cheeky.
Yeah, you're on your way to that goal of 1,000, mate. That's for sure. Mate, awesome. Well, so let's go through some of the things that that came out on Friday. So Among Us, you've obviously played Among Us before, Grizzo. Mm-hmm. I'm going to post a link in the Twitch chat for those hanging out in here. Among Us released a YouTube video of a new mode they had called Among Us Horse Mode. And basically it's just the Among Us people as horses, but still in the little suits and stuff. It actually looks pretty fucking funny. I think they legitimately like actually pushed this out. So I think when you
could actually play this, could you play this?
I think it was one day only. So I think on April Fool's Day, when you loaded your character in, they were like a horse Among Us character. I don't know for sure. It says this is a free update that will disappear after the day is over. So make sure you hop one on launch and try it out. So I assume that it actually legitimately was a thing that happened. So
there you go, mate.
There you go. There's the first one now.
Horse mode.
Yep. Now, another one that was sort of came out was this little bad boy. I'm going to drop that one in Twitch chat as well. Unplugged Air Triangle reveal gameplay. And it's literally VR, like, triangle. So if you can imagine Guitar Hero, but a triangle, it's literally that. And it's, like, so fucking slow. It's like every now and then the guy goes in and, like, does a little triangle chime.
And then he's doing
like the fucking metal fucking horns with his fingers. It's pretty fucking funny.
Excellent, dude.
Yeah. So that's pretty fucking cool. That's definitely worth a check out. If you go and have a bit of a look at Unplugged Air Triangle. Maybe it'll go out there. Now the next one I saw was Chris, do you ever play Hunt Showdown? You ever see that game before?
Yeah, I've seen it around, mate. I've seen it around. It's kind of like a PvP PvE game versus monsters and things.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So you kind of play these characters that are in like they're like in the bayous and they kind of like got these ye olden time guns and stuff, and you got to go in there and hunt these weird monsters but also not get killed by other players whilst they're trying to do the same thing as you. Anyways, the game's made by Crytek and they did things like Crysis and other games like that. Anyway, so they announced a April Fool's of some of the other Crytek people coming to Hunt Showdown. And yeah, it looks a bit ridiculous having
the trailer looks so realistic too, though. Like that,
yeah, actually it actually looks legitimate, like it looks really cool. So they've got like the olden time people with the guns running around with the guy from Crysis in the Crysis suit, and another game that they had was Rome Son of War, which I think might have I think that came out for Xbox One back in the day, and that was one of the release titles. And that's just literally like Roman people running around fighting gladiator kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it was just a bit of a, yeah, how you going? Now, the next one they had was Warzone Totally Normal BR. Now, I believe, I can't remember exactly what the deal one with this one was, but I think when you loaded into the game, it was, you had like Totally Normal BR and Totally Normal Rebirth Resurgence. So I think the modes were a little bit different. Basically, you drop in from the plane, then you plummet to the ground, but there's no fall damage. And I'm just reading through it really quickly. You'll find out that your custom loadouts have been removed, leaving everyone to rely on ground loot. Excuse me. So, yeah, I think that's
basically was this actually released in game, was it? These were actual game modes on April Fools, is that right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you couldn't, your custom loadouts were completely removed, which I'm sure people logging into the game would have shit their pants about. And the parachuting functionality changed quite dramatically. So data indicates that a considerable number of players die upon infiltration, giving the ongoing struggle where you remove the initial barrier at entry. So I think you didn't even have to pull your parachute, basically. Kind of funny. So, just some slightly minor changes. Moving along, Guild Wars 2. You ever play Guild Wars 2 back in the day, Grizzo, when that came out?
I did, and I'm surprised that I still see it around and popular. How old is that? Like over 10 years old now?
Oh, it'd have to be, dude. Absolutely. I remember when it first came out, and I actually really got into it with a bunch of mates. It's always suffered from that it's not WoW kind of perspective for a lot of people, I think. But I do think, Grizz, that in recent times, Guild Wars 2 has had another resurgence because of obviously everything that happened with Activision Blizz. People were looking for somewhere to sort of spend their money. And I think a lot of MMOs have kind of had renewed subscriptions and stuff.
Have they bought out DLC and stuff for it, dude? It's literally the same Guild Wars.
Yeah, no, they've been consistently bringing out DLCs for this game for quite a while. Wow. In fact, I'm pretty sure they brought out one fairly recently, like within the last few months. So they've been you know, really really supporting the game.
I wonder if this is going to be an Activision fucking acquired studio.
You never know. Maybe. PlayStation
are looking for more live service. Anyway, sorry, mate. Keep going.
No worries.
It's a chat for another day.
Yeah. So basically, ArenaNet announced an update to their game where they just put a shitload of Rottweiler puppies in their main hub town. There's just these dogs everywhere. So Lion's Arch, which I believe is their main hub town, has now got a shitload of dogs in it. So
dogs?
Those dogs will be there till April 7th. So if you want to go and pet some dogs, make sure you log in soon, ladies and gentlemen.
Pet some dogs. And I think Guild Wars is not a subscription MMO either. It's a one-buy thing. Is that right?
I think you're right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure once you buy the game and or updates, you have access to that content, I guess, permanently. Maybe I know a lot of MMOs kind of brought in, you know, like ESO, for example, they kind of had the same thing. But what they brought in was like a subscription-based service where you'd get some currency and stuff over time and all that kind of shit. So maybe they've got something similar. I'm not too sure. So anyways, moving along. War Thunder released a little video, which I'm going to post in the chat right here. Basically, what you see... War Thunder's like a tanks game. Like you drive tanks. And so they released this thing called Children of Archaeus, Worm Thunder. So I think essentially what the idea was is that War Thunder was going in on the Dune kind of IP thing. So they're in the desert, and at the very end of the video, you see a big sandworm pop up. I don't know whether it's live or not, but it must be. It says from April 1st to the 25th, engage in battle for resources on the desert planet populated by giant sandworms.
Surely that's not actually a thing that happens, right?
Well, maybe it is, dude. It might be. I haven't done enough research on each one because there's just so many points in this document I've got that I haven't had enough time to research whether or not these actually went live. But I think this one might actually be live. So I think you can go and do that kind of stuff, which I wonder if that's an IP infringement on War Thunder's part, stealing a bit of Dune kind of thunder, if you will.
Well, exactly, mate. I mean, I can see where they got it from, because the War Thunder, I don't know, the desert spaces kind of look similar to Dune. But really quickly, Cap, I just wanted to quickly tell you a quick story. Razer sent me an email last year about their April Fools, and I seriously fell for it, dude. But it was a Razer toaster that burnt the Razer logo onto your bread.
Did you and try to like, buy it or something?
I need this because it came with like RGBs and stuff on it. It looked really fucking cool, man.
Oh, dude. It was kind of, well, wasn't the Xbox fridge an April Fool's? And then they ended up making one.
Is that right?
Yeah, the Xbox fridge. And it kind of looked, because everyone said the Xbox Series X, the newest console,
looked like a bar fridge.
And so they ended up making Xbox Series X bar fridges. And then, apparently they were fucking shit, though. Apparently they were really loud and just crappy fucking.
No good.
Yeah, no good. No good.
So, dude, fridges are,
actually, expensive. Another one that I just thought of, I'm pretty sure that Razer announced the finger sleeves a little while back, and I'm pretty sure those were initially supposed to be April Fools, maybe, but they actually, you can actually buy finger sleeves for like mobile gaming
for your consoles. They have them, Razer finger sleeves. You can get them from PLE, mate. They're $19,
mate. Solid investment. Protect your freaking fingerprints, mate. You don't want any nerds online stealing your IP and your fingerprints, mate.
Gee, they got bad reviews. They got bad reviews, Capo.
Well, it's a fucking finger sleeve, so they should have bad reviews. Why are you wearing a finger sleeve, you dingus? Another good one, Grizz. Every year, the main community manager for World of Warcraft posts a big patch notes thing, which is just a big piss take, essentially. So, you know, like here's the one for this year. They announced a new class, essentially. So new class, Tinker Leaker, the most popular real life class, has finally come to the fantasy World of War of Azeroth. What? Why can't I read? Available to all races, the Tinker Leaker provides an exciting connection to the history of the definite future of the game itself. Tinker Leakers are a pure support class that can choose between two range specializations, near-term guarantee and distant assurance. So this is basically a piss take, because every year someone, or like, you know, just some rando online creates a post about how there's a new class coming out called the Tinkerer. And so this is like a big piss take.
Is that
about
right,
that.
Man?
Yeah. So it's just a bit of tongue in cheek and just a bit of fun. But if you're into World of Warcraft, there's quite some funny shit in the April Fool's patch notes for the game. So definitely go and check them out. But actually, on this note, Grizz, it does seem like there's a lot of stuff, and again, there's always a lot of rumors about this shit. And Pav, you might need to add a new quick note on this one in the show notes. But it does look like they might have accidentally released information on the next World of Warcraft expansion. I saw a Twitter post earlier today of someone who was using the developer console for Google Chrome, where you can see the source code for websites and stuff. And there was entries in one of the JavaScripts on the website that had some information about World of Warcraft Dragonflight, which was kind of like the pre-order categories for each of this new expansion that was called Dragonflight. So it might be someone just talking absolute shit, and they could have easily have just plugged their own shit into the script and taken a screenshot and be like, hey guys, look, it's Dragonflight, look, I swear. So it could be someone just being a dingus, or maybe
you gonna play World of Warcraft, Cap, in the new expansion? Will you check it out, mate?
It'd have to be pretty fucking good for me to want to go over there. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what they have to offer in coming days. But maybe.
Dude, those patch notes are like, I'm just looking at these. Still, these patch notes from World of Warcraft. The class changes, dude, are pretty fucking hilarious. I don't know if you had to read through them, man.
There's a bunch of funny ones, dude. Good. Absolutely. Yeah. Another thing that Blizzard did,
must manually activate all pet abilities.
Manually activate all their abilities.
And then it's like, priest, no changes needed.
Classic, dude. So good. Well, another thing that Blizzard did was they added googly eyes to characters in Overwatch by the looks of things. So in the competitive ranked games, all the characters have googly eyes. Yeah, I'll post a link in the chat. But yeah, so you can see there, you can see Reaper with googly eyes looking really, really scary. So there you go. Another one. Looks like RuneScape had an April Fools where, so 2020 April Fools was an event during which rocks were spawned at Burtthorpe and the entrance to Het's Oasis. These rocks could be moved one square by pushing or pulling them. When the two rocks were located on adjacent tiles, nearby players would need to unlock the title The Rock, and the rocks would respawn in their original locations. I don't know if that's much of an April Fool's joke. It just seems really fucking random, and I'm sure people are like, what the hell are these things do?
Barry's in there. Barry be out there fucking grinding.
Yeah, he'd be pushing freaking boulders, dude. Yeah. That man is a fiend. New blood delays all games to 2023 due to Elden Ring. that was another announcement that came out. So it looks like an indie developer basically came out with an April Fool's joke saying that they had delayed all their games until next year because Elden Ring's just too fucking good.
Not a bad idea.
I'm just reading through this list just to find some interesting ones. Valheim, here's a classic, Grizz. Now, I posted this in the dad chat earlier today. I'm sure you're going to like this one. New Valheim mode. I don't want to spoil too much for you, but open that link up in the Twitch chat. Just let me know what you think. I think you're really going to like this one, Grizz. I think this is going to be really...
His little something we've been working on.
Something that you think you're going to really like about Valheim. The 2021 Viking hit.
You're a deer.
Oh dear!
How's the noises, dude?
Yeah, I know. So yeah, basically they have released a video of them. I guess I don't think it's actually legitimately possible to do this or play this particular mode, but they've released deer mode on Twitter, and it's basically them running around as a deer. But like, the animation looks fucked. Like sometimes the deer's walking sideways, and it just looks really dumb.
Looks bloody excellent, mate. Now, Rise of the Deer favorite, King.
Rise of the Deer King, mate. I think that might be boss related, but yeah, there you go. Another cracker, Grizz, that I thought would be right up our alley, given that we're so into our gym these days, is that Jackbox Games, the guys who make Jackbox and all that kind of stuff, they're renaming themselves to Jacked Box Gains and releasing protein powder.
Jacked Box Gains.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
Here's the announcement in chat. Yeah, so get those hammies absolutely jacked with our squat down and plug in the HDMI cable rotation. Blast those forearms with the typing answers on an iPad circuit. Get rock hardcore with our laughing at your friends' redonkulous jokes drills. Set the PB during mindful finger-drawing yoga exercises. No more stylus for you, my friend. Prepare and recover from your ab-blasting game nights with Jackbox Gains Protein Powder coming soon.
Did you read the early testimonials? Here we go. I talked to my doctor before trying Jackbox Gains, and it was a perfect way for me to stay fit before delivering my baby. That was from Megan.
Good job, Megan. I'm proud of you. Now, another cracker one, Grizz, was it's not a huge cracker, but I thought it was a bit of a chuckle. OpenMW, which is like, OpenMW is like a... it's like an open source engine that you can use to interact with the Morrowind game engine. So it's kind of like a big open source modular kind of thing you can do to do bits and pieces with Morrowind. They announced that they're no longer supporting Morrowind and actually now supporting Neverwinter Nights, which makes no sense at all. So I thought that was a bit of a classic.
Dude, isn't there a... Wait, No. It's not Neverwinter Nights. There hasn't been a Neverwinter Nights for ages, has there? It's old news.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Now, I think the last one was Neverwinter Nights 2, and Neverwinter Nights 2 came out a while back. Neverwinter Nights 2. Let's find out when. That, my friend, was in 2006.
Yeah.
And I think they released some DLC and shit for it, but man, Neverwinter Nights 1 was a banger, dude. What a game.
Those games were great. I did. I played Icewind Dale, the Icewind Dale series, and then into Neverwinter Nights because they were kind of like D&D, but loved them, mate.
As a kid, so my mate had Neverwinter Nights on his computer, and like as a kid, because I never had a PC when I was younger, and I was just like, holy shit, this game is nuts. Like, what the hell's all these numbers and just shit going on the screen? And like, I can just remember one particular spell that you could cast. It was like Obadiah, Deborah, Sespa. And I just remember that from my childhood all the time because it's just like, but I tell you what, man, that game storyline wise was a cracker. Really great storyline. Like, goddamn, they should remake that.
Didn't they use some of the D&D rule sets for those? I could be wrong, but I thought they might have actually used.
Yeah, yeah. So Neverwinter's based on the Wizards Coast, I guess, who make D&D. But I mean, it's all set in the D&D realms and worlds. Neverwinter is the main city in the D&D franchise. And yeah, it's all based around D&D dice rolls and all kinds of shit. So when you get new weapons and stuff, it's like, well, now this weapon, you get to roll a D6. Congratulations. Like, it's just shit like that. So, damn, that was a fucking good game. Horribly gross to play these days, in my opinion. But back in the day, man, that was the freaking shit. Yeah. Oh, man, I used to love that game. Now, I'm going to one more, Grizz, the final one, I think, before we move into quickfire and talk about you doing some other cool shit.
I've got two to add to your April Fools that I found that are on this list as well, but I'll make them quick, mate. I'll make them real quick.
Yeah, well, maybe go yours first because the one I want to talk about is actually fucking nuts and I think would be rad if it was true.
All right, mate. So HyperX released a tweet of a grass keyboard and mouse. I'm just going to quickly post it.
So HyperX is a peripheral maker. They create the microphone that I use, funnily enough.
And the funniest thing about it is, dude, there was a link in the tweet that you could click on to go. I've just put a link to a picture of the grass keyboard and mouse. And if you click the link, it would take you to the Rickrolled YouTube. Oh
my God. Dude, this kind of reminds me. Did you see the Sonic and Knuckles PlayStation Xbox controllers coming out?
Nope. Is it furry or something?
This isn't even fucking April Fool's. This is legitimate. So Sonic and Knuckles Xbox controllers. Dude, wait till you see these fucking controllers. They're fucking crazy. I'm going to copy this image link and post it in the Twitch chat. Oh my God. No, don't do that. That's not the correct image. I just did a base 64 paste somehow. There you go. Try that one. It's literally like two controllers and they're just covered in fur.
Oh my God, dude. What, are they real?
You can actually buy these controllers. I saw a comment from somewhere saying, are we sure that those Sonic and Knuckles controllers weren't April Fool's jokes? Just playing the long game. But yeah, they're actually super freaking disgusting. But also, yeah, that highly reminds me of this particular keyboard. It's got like all this grass and shit coming off. It looks disgusting.
The old fairy ones. Imagine getting your Dorito fingers in that hairy goodness there.
No. Okay. I don't know. Well, what's the other one that you got, Grizzo?
All right. So the other one was there was a meme going around on Twitter, mate, and I mentioned this to you and Pav before the stream, but I found it pretty dang funny, and it was the monthly releases under the Xbox Game Pass, and it was basically all of the PlayStation exclusives, that PS5 exclusives they had to date, things like God of War and just all their first part. Even Astro's Playroom was on there. It's just
Dude, that's so good. I imagine that because when you told me about this, I was like, surely Microsoft didn't make that because, like,
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they could get sued for that. Surely.
Get yourself in a bit of trouble, eh?
Absolutely. But I mean, he's still fucking hilariously funny. Now, Grizz, the other one I wanted to talk about was, I'm going to post it in the Twitch chat as well so people can have a bit of a look. But the headline reads, From Software is making a Warhammer 40K game with Henry Cavill. and it turned out to be an April Fool's joke. But it says Games Workshop has announced it's working with Japanese game developer From Software, creator of Elden Ring and Dark Souls series, on a brand new licensed video game titled Warhammer 40,000 Nihilus. Currently in development for next gen, the forthcoming RPG will be reportedly feature Henry Cavill, star of the Netflix's Witcher and self-confessed Warhammer fanatic, as the voice of the Emperor of Mankind. Dude, this would have been fucking sick.
They made it sound so freaking real, dude. Like, yes, that announcement reads so good.
I know. What? That's what I mean, dude. I was spewing when I found out that this, because look, I'm not a huge Warhammer guy, because I just never have had the money to, you know, do that at all. But I can definitely appreciate the lore and stuff that those games kind of, you know, are sort of based around. Dude, I think this kind of game, like a Dark Souls 40K Warhammer game, would be unbelievable, man.
Imagine unbelievable. That, mate. It would be fucking sick, man. I reckon there's a lot of stuff with the 40K. Well, we didn't add this to the quick or to the stream at all.
I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, Darktide 40K has a release date, doesn't it, Cap?
I think it's end of the year, September or something like that.
Release trailer. But yeah, I think that in terms of 40K...
Give us a bit of a rundown of what that is, Grizz, for people that don't know.
So you may have heard of Vermintide or Vermintide 2. And essentially what it is like a cooperative, almost like a horde mode game where you basically work yourself through a map, killing enemies, and there's different classes and stuff. But the beauty of the game is the way that the loot and item system works. So essentially, once you clear a level, depending on the difficulty, you get to roll a dice, to see what kind of loot or access to kind of loot you're going to get, rarity and that kind of thing. And, man, it's basically like, how do I put this? But it's like, you know how successful loot boxes are? There's something about that endorphin hit of opening something like a loot box and not knowing what's inside and then you're getting it. Well, dude, they do that so well, but you're not paying for these loot boxes. It depends on how well you've done in the level. So I'm really excited. Vermintide 1 and 2 were both great games. And Darktide, which is the 40K, so I think futuristic, guns, all that kind of stuff.
So a bit more, pretty cool. Less melee-focused, a bit more gun-focused, Grizzo.
Yeah, which I think is going to be cool. Yeah, oh, absolutely, mate. And the ranged heroes in Vermintide were fantastic as well, mate. So like, you know, there was range classes and they worked just like in the melee ones. So it'd be great to see how this is kind of adapted. There was some gameplay footage released as well, and it just looked schmick, really nice.
Dude, I'm super keen. We had a lot of fun playing that on Twitch together. Very keen to,
dude, because it has Twitch integration as well, so your chat can vote on outcomes.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do a few Ogre streams or something of that when it releases, just as a bit of fun.
100%, mate. 100%.
Get Pav in as well. For sure. Yep. Absolutely get Pav in there. But yeah, so that's pretty much the entirety of the April Fool's roundup. And we're almost at an hour. So, let's move on to you finishing Elden Ring. What the hell, dude? Hey. I'm still not finished. I'm still going.
It'd be rude to...
So no major spoilers, by the way.
No major spoilers. Right. Yeah. It'd be rude to have an OGR podcast without talking about Elden Ring. Am I right, Cap?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've got to keep doing this for the rest of the year, right? So we're going to have an Elden Ring segment. The Elden segment is what we're going to start calling it.
The Elden segment. Never ages. Well, so Cap, my full playthrough, mate, took me about 107 hours, but I did want to talk about it because something interesting happened to me at about, I must have had maybe like, five or six main bosses left. But essentially, dude, I did a bunch of these story quests. I'm not going to spoil those for you, but I found a collection of spells that when I went through and read them, they worked really well together. And I thought, fuck it, I'm just going to go pure spellcaster. So I actually completely veered away from my dex build. I pretty much didn't hit anyone with my sword anymore. So I actually ended up taking it off and I was just using spells. So Cap, you would have seen in your playthrough the I think they're called like carrion spells, but it's where you basically yep. like swing a weapon. Yep. So I was using that. I was using a particular version of that for all my melee hits. And then I had a bunch of these range spells I can use at range. But what I found was really cool, man, is I had a couple of spells that were synergizing. Because obviously you got blood buildup and poison and frost yep. and all these things. And so I was working across a couple of different those for different buildup effects on bosses. And dude, the damage completely outscaled my melee damage.
Is that right?
Like, dude, it is fucking stupid.
Really?
Very, very cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome, I hope they do a little bit of tuning because I've heard a lot of similar things from other people playing Elden Ring where, like, melee kind of just falls off, like, at a certain point. And I'm definitely experiencing that right now. Like, it's fucked.
I'm telling you, mate, I would hate to do the end bosses melee. I reckon I would have spent another fucking 20 hours on them.
Well, yep, looks like I've got at least another 20 hours left. I mean, I'm still slowly making my way around some last parts of the map that I haven't finished off, but yeah, look, it'll be interesting to see how I fare. And did you do a rescale of your stats, or did you just use the stats you already had?
No, I used the stats that I had, but the issue is with int that the hard cap is 80. So once I reached that 80, I didn't really need. So if I put any more points in there, it wouldn't scale any more spells or anything. So I just decided, yeah. You know, that's all I was pretty much using and everything else. I did decide, Cap, that I'd stop using the it's called a Zua's spell. It's basically that big like beam that you can use.
Yeah.
And essentially, dude, I really hope that they nerf that because basically you can use a flask, your wondrous psychic flask, to give you access to infinite FP for the duration of the flask. And you can just literally just charge that at people and you can get like what should be like maybe a 5-second spell because your FP like slowly disintegrates down. You can do it for like 15, 20 seconds. You just like,
holy shit. Yeah,
it's completely
that's
broken.
That's disgusting.
Out. Yeah. So they need to fix that. I felt dirty using that. So I did take that off.
I haven't cast a single spell yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't you have some faith? Haven't you got a little bit of faith?
Yeah. The only reason I got faith was so I could use that cool sword.
Yeah. Right. Man, you should. I would love, dude. Maybe you should either stream it or Discord stream it because I want to watch you on some of those later bosses.
Yeah,
mate, for sure.
All right. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll tell you what, dude. I will say I got my ass handed to me for a good maybe. I was talking. Actually, I'm sorry, Kevin. I have to apologize in advance, but I actually started a different thread with Adrian to talk about spoilerish things in Elden Ring.
Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah, didn't want to ruin it for you, mate. But yeah, essentially, dude, there's a boss in that game that I think is up there with the difficulty of who is the guy from Bloodborne that kicks your ass? That just
Orphan
like jump Orphan of Kos. Yeah,
oh,
for me.
Really?
And I felt like I had a broken build, but yeah, dude, tough.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not looking forward to that. That's sad. Oh, no. Well, Grizz, on the topic of Elden Ring, Bandai Namco, the publisher of Elden Ring, has noted that they would like to work with Brandon Sanderson. And Brandon Sanderson is the creator of, I believe, is it Wheel of Time? No, hang on, that's not right. Mistborn and Stormlight Archive fantasy novels. I'm pretty...
I didn't read those. I haven't read any of Brandon Sanderson, but...
Okay, I don't think he did do Wheel of Time. I think I'm thinking of someone else. But regardless, Sanderson is a very well-known fantasy novel author, highly well-respected, probably in the same echelon as George R. R. Martin. I mean,
dude, how
the
difference cool is it that these gaming studios are working with these fantasy
authors? Dude, this is the kind of shit you want to be doing, man. Like, this is nuts. Like, if you get a guy like Sanderson, like, he could do some really fucking cool things. And, I mean, Sanderson has said that he has a Soulsborne pitch. So,
really?
I mean, yeah. So that's kind of come out in recent days with Bandai Namco saying that they'd like to work with him. I think him and From Software could be a match made in heaven. Though it does make me wonder how a guy like Miyazaki, the lead game designer and narrative writer for a lot of the Soulsborne series, and how someone like this guy, who seems like he might be a little bit more hands-on than George R. R. Martin would have been with an IP like this, I wonder how well they gel with one another. Because I mean, I don't really know what kind of personality Sanderson has, but I'm sure that given, because when you design story for a game, obviously you need to work around the mechanics of your game as well, and your narrative kind of needs to, I guess, be dynamic enough over the course of development such that it can be tweaked and massaged a little bit. And so you might need to, I guess, sometimes probably omit things or forget about certain things that you had in mind. It'd be interesting to see how a collaboration like that would go. I would love to sit in on the fucking design meetings with Miyazaki and Sanderson, or even with George R. Martin. You know.
Speaking on that, I feel like we've heard lots of these heaps of these memes around George R.R. Martin, his kind of involvement in Elden Ring, but I feel like we haven't actually had any of the truth behind that. But I'd love to know, as you say, Cap, like how involved are the authors in helping narrate these games?
Exactly, right. You never really know. I think what probably happened with George R. R. Martin is I think Miyazaki probably gave him a few breadcrumbs to work with, and then he kind of filled in the gaps to give it his own George R. R. Martin flair.
Some of the FromSoft lore, man, going back to like Bloodborne and the early Dark Souls games, are so fucking in-depth. Like little parts of the environment that mean these hugely significant things. And even on Sekiro was the same. Like some of the Sekiro stuff was actually tied in with like Japanese culture and
some old
fairy tale stories and other bits and pieces. Like you can see why maybe FromSoft want to get these authors in to help tie all those threads together and make these complete games that are just very in-depth lore-wise.
Well, I think I don't think they need it, but I think it is an awesome thing to do regardless, because I think all it does is give your games an extra dimension. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Now, by the way, Sanderson did write some of the Wheel of Time books.
Oh, okay.
He wrote the last two before when Robert Jordan died.
So, I read Wheel of Time, and I probably read up to like book five or something, and then it got very. I felt like the start of the book was good, and the end of the book was good, and all the rest, the middle was just like filler. By the halfway through that,
I feel like a lot of books are like that, though. Like, you know, like you kind of read the start, and you're like, oh yeah, sick, and then like there's all this shit that happens, and then like the big thing at the end happens, you're like, oh yeah, awesome again, and you just do rinse repeat.
I've got to read the next one, and you read the start. Yeah, this is sick,
and then boring, and then oh, there it goes again. Yeah, here we go. But Grizz, we better move along, mate. We're probably getting pretty close to time on this bad boy, so let's click through all of our quick fire topics. We're gonna begin with the Oceanic Gaming Radio poll. Now, if you're listening at home and you want to take part in this, all you got to do is follow our Twitter, and we'll be posting a poll every week that you can vote in. We had 22 votes this week. Now, what was the poll, Grizzly? Give us the fucking rundown.
It was the most successful poll to date, Cap. I'm going to go and say we had a total
out of two.
out of two. But
was it the most successful yet?
All right, guys. So we had it was the Great Console War, right? So which is the better console, PlayStation or Xbox?
Yeah. Now
it'd be nice to have one of us that went in blind. Next week, let's not one of us look at the results. So then we can say, so Cap, what do you think the results would be?
Yeah.
And surprise.
To be honest, this didn't surprise me.
No, it didn't. No.
So obviously it was we had two options, PlayStation, Xbox. We could have put Switch in there, I guess, but you know, Nintendo just does its own thing. They're not even a console, but they're not a console. You know what I mean? They're a way of life. You know, just get in there.
That's it. They're off their own fucking thing, doing their own. They're not competing with Xbox and Xbox.
No, they just do their own thing. So look, out of the two, PlayStation won by a landslide. It was 81.8% to 18.2% to Xbox. I kind of agree with this in a sense, but yeah, I mean, it's one of those questions where, like, I don't like to perpetuate the fanboy console war argument, but it is interesting to see what people's sentiment is around who is maybe having a more successful generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And if you are in the Twitch chat right now and you didn't get to vote in the poll, chuck it in the chat because I'm just curious to know what you guys think. But it's interesting, yeah. Cap, and I know this is a quick fire, I need to hurry up, but last week we spoke about how successful and how much the Xbox Game Pass shits on what PlayStation's offering was for the same. Yet when we do a poll like this and we're comparing the consoles, it's night and day with what people are preferring.
I suppose what I would... Because I definitely agree with you. Like, you're 100% right, and I think that Xbox's offering for their Game Pass versus PlayStation's, even their new offering for the PlayStation Plus, I still think that the Xbox, Game Pass kind of equivalent, if I had to choose between one or the other, I'd choose the Xbox one. But I think when it comes purely down to, like, console itself, I think people just go, well, PlayStation's got the exclusives and they have got them in copious amounts. You know, they've got the God of Wars, they've got the freaking Uncharted, they've got all that other good shit. And I think that's what people see. And people are happy to pay a premium for those games when they are really good. I mean, look at Last of Us, you know, whether you did or you didn't like Part 2, it sold extremely fucking well.
I haven't played those games yet, Kappa. I haven't played the Last of Us games yet. Oh, you should give them a crack.
Yeah. I think you would, actually, I'll tell you what, number one will fucking make you cry, motherfucker. I'm going to tell you right now.
Really?
Something happens at the start, and I reckon it will make you fucking tear up big time.
No.
I won't say anything. You should play them on stream, though. No, I think you'd really enjoy them. No, do it. Dare you. But yeah, all right, moving along. Activision Blizz approves an $18 million settlement. So just to quickly kind of go through this one, I don't really like giving Activision Blizz and all their bullshit too much limelight, but just for your information, everyone, basically Activision Blizz has approved an $18 million fund for eligible claimants who worked at the company starting in September 1st, 2016. So, I mean, this is just a small step towards, you know,
do individuals get, will they be out of pocket for this? Like Bobby Kotick and those dingleberries?
No, absolutely not. No. This is the company on a whole. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Look, there's definitely a few key figures in this whole harassment kind of, I'm going to call it just story of just utter garbage. But I think, yeah, ultimately, you know, Bobby Kotick is probably the person who's going to make the most money out of all this because, you know, if he, in his contract, he has something like, you know, a couple of hundred mil paid out to him, regardless of whether he leaves dishonorably or not. You know, it's just unbelievable. So, look, yeah, ultimately, some people just get away scot-free, and the company obviously takes the brunt of it. Obviously, the company is at fault for allowing for this behavior to go on for long enough. But, yeah, I mean, these people are kind of semi-protected, which is just bullshit. But, yeah, so anyways, look, one small token towards, you know, maybe repairing or helping to repair what the damage that's been done. Obviously, some people have, you know, one person's known to have lost their life over this bullshit, over this scandal and bullshit. So, I mean, that will never be repaired. But, yeah, hopefully this is a small token for those people who have suffered and are able to claim on this kind of stuff. So there you go. Now, moving along to a company doing something decent is Capcom. They're raising their employees' base salaries by 30%, Grizzo.
That's a significant amount, Cap. Like
30%. Yeah, I mean, that's huge.
Like, yeah, I mean, even 5% is fucking a lot.
I mean, for a company, when you think about that, but raising base salaries by 30, that's pretty fucking nuts. I would assume... I wonder how that works, right? Does that mean that everyone just gets a 30% increase this year? Or does that mean, like, people
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Like, do they? If you're on your base salary, you get 30%. But if you've been getting a few increases over the years, it comes up to that point. You know?
I read that as everyone's getting a 30% increase, but I could be freaking wrong.
Average base salaries. That's what I mean. I don't know. Maybe base
salaries.
Maybe not.
And a new bonus system more closely tied to the company's business performance will be introduced. So that's pretty cool as well.
I think this is a smart thing that a lot of companies do to try and get their employees more invested and, have a bit more. Obviously, mate, we don't go to work because we fucking like it. We go to work because we want to make money. So if you're going to pay me better because I perform better, maybe I'll perform better.
I tell you what, dude, I think there's something to be said about a company that is willing to reward their employees based on their success, but also on a base wage. And, you know, Capcom sounds like a pretty good place to work if they're basing on game performance when you look at things like how well Resident Evil does as a series. They've got
Monster Hunter.
Shit, dude. That sounds pretty good.
And those games have been huge. Even the more recent Monster Hunter, like Monster Hunter Rise, and I think they've done quite well. Obviously they're doing well enough to help their employees out, which is great. So, yeah, freaking good to see.
Well, this the other thing, dude. Their stock price has risen 2%. I'm just fucking looking at this thing. And I wonder if this is from news like this. So nice to hear good things happen because they're in amongst the shit that we've seen too, Capo, eh?
Oh, absolutely, mate. Just nice to see big corporate conglomerations actually looking after their employees rather than treating them like shit. So that's always nice. So there you go. Moving along, Grizzo, Hyper Light Breaker has been announced. Now, you may have played Hyper Light Drifter. Kind of like a isometric-ish Zelda-like drew a little bit of on the Souls Soulsborne kind of combat, I guess, in the sense that, you know, you kind of combat's quite difficult and all that kind of stuff, but still had that Zelda-like kind of puzzling and top-down kind of stuff going on. The art style was quite unique. It's kind of like neon, weird kind of fantasy shit going on. It looks cool, but it was a 2D kind of game, and they are now releasing their next iteration, Hyper Light Breaker, which is a 3D co-op adventure set in the beloved Hyper Light universe, launching in spring 2023, so the next year. But they have announced it, so there you go. Go and check out the trailer. I'm going to drop that in the Twitch chat for people who are interested. Now, it is made by Gearbox Publishing. Now, Gearbox obviously do Borderlands and shit like that, so got some big guns on this bad boy. But the animation that they've done for this announcement trailer is fucking dope, man. It is like some anime-ass freaking dopey goodness.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, so pretty unique it'll too. Be interesting to see some gameplay, I suppose. There's a little bit of what looks like in-game engine stuff towards the end of the trailer, but not an awful lot. It just looks very cool. It's kind of hard to describe the art style. Very neon, it's almost like if you ever played Fez, a bit like that, but kind of a bit more fantasy based, and but then also kind of a little bit like not quite steampunky, like neon punk. I don't know if that is even a thing. I just made that up, but there you go. Go and check that out. But with that, Grizzo, that pretty much rounds out the episode for tonight. Everyone, thank you for being here. Appreciate you. We've covered a fair bit today. But firstly, before we do anything, we'd just like to thank our subs on the Patreon that are supporting us to get this podcast out on the airwaves. Thank you so much. I'm a Sukai, you big bloody legend, for continuing your sub with us and being just an absolute legend and helping support this little podcast of ours. And thank you for everyone in the Twitch chat right now listening live as we record this episode. And thank you to everyone listening at home after we've recorded live on the podcast. Bloody appreciate you. You're freaking legends. Now, how can you help us further? it's okay if you can't help us pay for all the freaking shit that we pay for with this podcast. We don't, it's fine. Don't worry about it. But what you can do is you can go and follow us on Twitter. You can go and follow us on Facebook and you can go and follow us on Twitch. Get those freaking numbers up, baby. Just look up Oceanic Gaming Radio and click follow or whatever else it is on the other social platforms. And yeah, I guess that's pretty much everything I can think of. Grizzly, you got anything else to say?
No more parting words for me, Cap. I had a fucking fantastic time with you guys again, and I look forward to Monday.
Yep, excellent. Pavlich, thank you so much for your production work. We love you, baby.
Always a pleasure.
Love you big time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, everyone else, thank you so much for hanging out. Appreciate you, and we'll see you next time on Oceanic Gaming Radio.